Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Well, today we're going to start a series called The Christian Atheist. Now, you might be wondering, Christian Atheist, what in the world is that about? Well, let me explain it to you. According to a recent survey in America, 3 out of 4 people believe in God. And 7 out of 10 people actually believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God's Son who came into the world. But I think if you look at how people live today, we'd probably all agree that nowhere near do 7 out of 10 people live like Jesus is the Son of God, and like they believe in God. We don't see that there is a disconnect between what they believe and how they live. And how many think that's pretty true? If that's the majority of America, we're not seeing that today. And that's really how I would define a Christian atheist, and we have it spelled out for you in your notes this morning on the back of your bulletin. It says, a Christian atheist is someone who believes in God, but lives as if God doesn't exist. It's someone who believes in God, but lives as if God doesn't exist. Now, just for the record, for those of you who are here and you are atheists, this is not a shot at you, okay? I know many atheists who live very, you know, helpful, productive, kind lives. They're good people. This is more of a shot at people who say, yeah, I believe in God, I'm a Christian, but it makes absolutely no difference in their life. And I want to set the tone for this series, The Christian Atheist, by reading a passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote to a young man named Titus. He was kind of helping him in ministry, and he wrote this in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, and he's talking about a people who were living a life that was full of a lot of talk, but the talk was meaningless. It was empty because their life was actually very rebellious towards God. In Titus 1:16, Paul says, they claim to know God. They do what? Say it out loud. They claim to know God. Yeah, I know God. We believe in God. Yeah, we believe He's real. But by their actions, they deny Him. That's what I would call a Christian atheist. I believe in God, but they act like He doesn't exist. Paul goes on to say, they are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. They claim to know God. Yeah, I know Him, but they're detestable. They're unfit. They don't do any good. So let me just kind of break down where we're going to go the next 4 weeks for this series. Today, we're going to talk about one of the most important messages that I could ever teach about God, about believing in God, but for those people who do not know Him. Next week, we're going to look at people who believe in God, but do not fear Him. We're going to talk about what does it mean to live a life in reverent fear of God. In week 3, we're going to talk about people who believe in God, but don't want to go overboard with this Jesus thing, okay? Hey, I don't want to get too radical about it. I just kind of want to be comfortable. I really don't want to be a fanatic. That's what we're going to talk about in week 3. And then week 4, we're going to wrap it up and talk about people that believe in God but don't fully trust in Him. I believe in Jesus and I'll trust Him with some parts of my life, but there's other parts of my life I want to hang on to. I want to stay in control. So that's where we're going the next few weeks. Today, we're talking about believing in God, but not knowing Him. And I want to illustrate it with this story, with really my relationship with my wife, Rebecca. Several years ago, I believed in Rebecca, but I did not know her. Okay, what do I mean by that? All right, I was a junior in college, and she was an incoming freshman. Now, I was preparing for ministry, and like any wise ministerial student, when you begin to hit junior, senior year, you begin to fast and pray and say, oh, Jesus, give me a good wife. because your spouse makes you or breaks you in ministry. And if you're in Bible college, that is a great place to find a Christian wife to be your life partner for ministry, okay? And so every fall, when the new young crop comes on campus, all the upperclassmen ministerial students, we're checking them out, okay? We're looking at them, all right? And the thing is, it's not just who's really pretty, but there's other things you observe about their life. Do they attend chapel? Because we had weekly chapel services, Monday through Friday, you had chapel. Do they come to chapel or do they skip chapel? When they come to chapel, do they engage in worship or they just kind of sit there passing notes to their friends, not engaged? When there's a response time, are they going forward? Does it look like this person's seeking God? Do they go to church on Sunday morning and not just go to chapel because they have to? Those were the types of things that you kind of look and you observe. How do they conduct themselves? How do they treat other people? And so I was watching Rebecca, and I began to believe in her, that she was a woman of God. One of my close friends knew her, had grown up with her, been to camps, and knew she'd been on missions trips. And so I believed in her that she is possibly someone that would be a great Christian wife. However, I didn't know her. I hadn't had a conversation with her. And after several weeks, I was finally able to secure a date with her. And on that date, I tell you, we went on a double date with my friend who knew her really well. He had a girlfriend, and I told him, I says, Randy, you might have to help carry the conversation because about the only time we've talked, we only had two conversations. The first time I crashed and burned, okay? It did not go well. The second conversation was, hi, my name's Craig. Randy Knight and I are going skating Friday night. Would you like to go with? That's all I talked to her, okay? And I told Randy that, and Randy said, hey, we'll help. But I tell you, Rebecca and I, we're in the back seat of Randy's Chevy Nova, he and his girlfriend in the front seat. I didn't need Randy to say a word. We hit it off. It was never so easy in all my life to talk to a girl. And from there on, it just progressed and it developed. A year later, I proposed to her. We got engaged. 6 months later, we got married. And for the past 29 years, I have gotten to know Rebecca, and now I know her very well. In fact, I can walk into a room, and I don't see her, but I can hear her voice, and I know where she's at. I know the smell of her perfume. I know what she likes. We go to any restaurant in town, I can probably come pretty close, one or two items, what she's probably going to order on the menu. You know, I know her little quirky things, like she, in the first few minutes of being up, she likes to go brush her teeth right away. Things like she likes to floss almost every day, that she likes home and garden shows. I know my wife, and I'm continuing trying to grow in my knowledge of her. But first I believed in her, and then I got to know her. And here's the thing, there are many people today who believe in God, but they really don't know him. He's a stranger to them. They don't have a relationship with God. It's kind of like when it comes to heaven, they're going to miss heaven by 18 inches. You say, what do you mean, Craig? They believe in God here, but they in their head, but they don't know God in their heart. And because they don't have that relationship, because it hasn't moved from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge, they're going to miss heaven. You see, God is a beautiful, loving creator, sustainer of the universe, but just because you believe in him does not get you to heaven. Okay? Some people believe in God, but there's three different levels we're going to look at this morning. Three different levels of believing in God. Level number one in your notes. Some people believe in God, but don't know him. And honestly, there's many people like this. You run into them several times a day. There may even be some of you here in the building that are like that. You say, Craig, how in the world does that happen? You can believe in God, but you don't know him. James talked about this in his epistle, James chapter 2, verse 19. He says, "You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Do you realize that the demons, the devils of hell, they believe in God? But they're not going to heaven. You see, they know God up here, but they don't know God with their heart. They rejected Him with their heart. And that is many people today. They know God, but they've rejected Him in their heart. It's kind of like the guy I met on the golf course a few weeks ago. His name is Jimmy. And there was a group ahead of me that were very slow, and I was sitting down just waiting for them to get done. And as I was waiting, Jimmy gets done, and he comes up. I says, "Hey, you want to join me? There are, you know, 3 holes left." He says, "Yeah, sure." So for these last 3 holes, we're just kind of making, you know, small talk. And Jimmy says, "So what do you do?" I says, "I'm a pastor." "Oh, what church?" "You know, Casper Faith up in the corner." And, "Yeah, I know where that's at." And as we talked, I said, "Do you go to church anywhere?" And he says, "You know, not really." He says, "Church never fit me." He says, "You know, but I believe in God. I believe in the teachings of Jesus. You know, they've been helpful to me. But, you know, the Christianity, I'm really don't get into the Christian thing." And Jimmy's a prime example. He believes in God. He believes in the teachings of Jesus. He said, "I try to follow him the best I could," but he really doesn't know Jesus. He's a stranger to him. I was like that growing up. I went to church every Sunday. I believed in God, but I didn't know God because the way to get to heaven for me, it was all based upon my works. If I'm a good person, if I go to church, if I do this, if I do that, if I do this, if I do that. And I was basing my entrance into heaven upon what I do instead of knowing God in a real personal way. You see, some people think that if I believe in God and I go to church, that's going to get me to heaven. Friends, that doesn't get you to heaven any more than you walking into an airplane hangar makes you a pilot. I don't know of anyone, if you've never had any flying lessons, you walk into an airplane hangar and say, "Okay, I'm here, so now I am a pilot. I can fly this baby." No, you have to become a pilot. There is a conscious choice that you have to say, "I am going to become a pilot," and then you do what it takes. And friends, that's the same way with being a Christian. Walking into a church doesn't make you a Christian. Believing in God doesn't make you a Christian. You have to come to a place where you know God. How do you do that? You have to realize that Jesus Christ died for your sin and that there is nothing you can do to get to heaven. You have to put your trust in Him. And He has to be your Lord. It says, "Those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The term Lord means king. It means leader. It means ruler or boss. And there's some people, "Yeah, I believe in God, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And I might do some good things, but I'm still going to be the Lord of my life." And until Jesus is your Lord, you don't know Him. You don't know Him. We see in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, John had some very direct words about what it means to know God. He says, "We know that we have come to know Him," know God, "if we do what? If we keep His commands. Whoever says, 'I know God,' but does not do what He says, what is that person? They are a liar. If we say we know Him but don't do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person." I see people all the time, they're what you might call cultural Christians. They're kind of like this. They say, "Well, my mom was a Catholic, my dad was a Baptist, we go to church on Christmas and Easter, I'm a Christian." Or maybe it's like, "Well, I'm not Muslim, I'm not Buddhist, I'm not Hindu, so by default, I'm a Christian." Or maybe it's kind of like, you know, I believe in God, and so, yeah, I'm a Christian. But being a Christian means that you know Him, and if you know Him, you obey His commandments. You follow Him. He is your Lord. You do what He wants you to do. Jesus was very direct and pointed, and I want to be careful. I don't want to use a fear tactic. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to hell if I'm not a Christian. That is true, but the reason I want you to become a Christian is you realize you need God's forgiveness and you want Him in your life. Because if you're only worshiping God out of fear, only following God out of fear, you're never going to know Him as a friend and have a relationship. When you say, man, I need Him, I want Him, you're going to engage in a love relationship with Him. And this is something Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus said many people on that day when they stand before God, they're going to say, hey, God, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do miracles for you? Didn't I do all these good things? Jesus said there's going to be people that say that. I think there might be some people today who, if they stood before God, they'd say, God, didn't I go to church? Didn't I give money to the poor? Didn't I help in the food pantry? Didn't I do this and do that? Didn't I do these things for you? And what does Jesus say in verse 23? He makes this statement, I will tell them plainly. He doesn't kind of sugarcoat it. He says, I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. How many people do you think on Judgment Day up in heaven, they're going to stand before God and they've got all these good works, all these good things they've done. God, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. They believed in God, but they didn't know Him, and so they missed heaven. God wants us not to stay at that level. If you're here today and you're kind of feeling, man, that's the level I'm at. I've believed in God, but I really haven't gotten serious about Him. I haven't loved Jesus. I don't really know Him. My prayer is that you'll move up to level three, to that level where you know Him. Let's take a look at level number two. People who believe in God and know Him, but don't know Him well. People that believe in God and they know God, they've experienced Him. I believe that they're a person of faith, but they don't know Jesus very intimately. They've kind of just stopped where they're at in that relationship. I'll give you an example. There's a gentleman, his name is Alton Garrison. Some of you may remember him. He's the assistant superintendent of the Assemblies of God. He's been at our church here. He's spoken here. And Brother Garrison, he knows me by name. He knows who I am. I know him. So we know each other, but I just don't know him very well. I know he started his ministry here in Wyoming. I know he was an evangelist for several years before he became the pastor at North Little Rock First Assembly of God. And then he was a superintendent for the state of Arkansas before he was elected as assistant superintendent. But really, that's all that I know about him. I know him not very well. And the thing is that a lot of us are sometimes like that in our relationship with God. I've experienced Him. I've met Him. I've received Christ as my Savior. But I really haven't gone into a deep relationship with Him. I don't know Him very well. Paul was talking about that to the Galatian Christians. Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, he said, formerly, when you did not know God, he says, you didn't know Him before, but now you do. You do know Him now. Formerly, when you didn't know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, now look what Paul does. He kind of qualifies it. He says, now that you know God, or rather, you are known by God. So he says, yeah, you're a Christian. God knows you, but you really don't know Him. He says, how is it that you're turning back to to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over? Paul says, you were worshiping false gods, you became a Christian, but now, because you haven't developed your relationship, you're turning back to those false gods. You're going back to those destructive forces. And I tell you, as a pastor, there's times I see that. I see people, they come to Christ, they get to know Jesus, they're all excited about him. Man, God saved me, he's done so much. But after the newness wears off, they haven't persisted in getting to know God, in praying, in reading the Bible, and developing just the habit of spending time with Jesus, of drawing close to him, of surrendering in lordship. And as a result, they don't go very deep, they don't go very far, and I see them turn back to some of the destructive habits, some of the destructive things, the negative things that they were doing before they were a Christian. And I just say to myself, why do you do that? And you try to come alongside and encourage someone, and yet they still choose to go back to old relationships that weaken their relationship with Christ, to do the things that weaken their relationship with God, or in some cases, not do the things that would strengthen their relationship with God. And they know God, but they don't know him very well. God wants you and I to engage in a relationship with him that's transforming. We talked about that earlier, about when we talked about kids going to camp. I don't want kids going to camp this week just to have fun, just to play paintball, just to go on the water slide at the rec center. I want kids to be transformed, and not just transformed at camp, but something happens so that they live a life of transformation from here on out. And that's what God wants for us, to live a life of transformation. To live life at the third level, and the third level is this morning, you know God intimately and serve him wholeheartedly. You know God intimately, and you serve God wholeheartedly. That's the third level of belief, and that is the best level of belief to be at. How do you qualify that? I'm going to make some statements, try to paint a picture for you to kind of help you understand what that means to know him intimately and serve him wholeheartedly, because here's the thing. We never come to a place in our lives where we say, yep, I've arrived. Oh, do I know Jesus so well? Yeah, I don't have to grow anymore because I have made it to the mountaintop. I have arrived. You know, it's kind of like we're driving with our GPS and you get to your destination and our GPS on vacation says, you have arrived. Friends, you never hear that from the Holy Spirit. But there's this heart that says, I want to know more. But these are kind of some pictures, some statements that show a person who is trying to go after God. You're a person that you know what it means to be led by the Spirit. God's nudged you. He's prompted you maybe to pray for someone, to call someone, to ask them a question. How are you doing it? You've got a sense of what that means. You understand when I say the phrase, you walk by faith and not by sight. There's times when in the natural something looks totally stupid to do, and you're not breaking a commandment if you do it, but you just got this peace and you know, God wants me to do this. Or maybe you don't see God working in an area and it looks futile and frivolous, but you know that you're trusting in God and you're believing him. You're walking by faith and not by what you see in your circumstances. You know what it means to be gently convicted of your sin and you're quick to turn from it. You know what it means to wake up and you say, God, I want to bring you glory this day. You know what it means to see God's hand working in your life. You just see how he's protected you, he's guided you, he's helped you. You just sense his guiding throughout the day. You have a sense of him directing you to care for someone, to say something that you weren't planning on saying. You know, is comfort when something horrible goes wrong in your life and you just have this sense of his supernatural comfort wrapping you up and taking care of you. Maybe you know what it's like to feel God's power in your life and you say, man, there's no way I could have done that without his strength. There's no way I could have made it through if God hadn't been there to shore me up, to give me the strength to walk through that. Maybe you've read the Bible and it just seems like God wrote a letter to you as you're reading the Bible, and man, I know he's speaking to me. He's ministering to me. He's helping me. Those are kind of some statements that if you know God and you're serving him wholeheartedly, you begin to have more of those kind of interactions with God in your life. He doesn't seem distant. He doesn't seem far off. He's becoming up close and personal. For 29 years, I've been getting to know my wife better. For 43 years, I've been getting to know Jesus better. How about you? Are you growing in your belief? Are you growing in your heart knowledge? Not just what you know about God, but about following him and just having a sense of his involvement and his interaction, his intervention in your life. I love the imagery that David paints in Psalm 63, verse 1 to 4. It's a scripture that we read at Mother's Day, but it fits here so well. I want to read it again. David said in Psalm 63, starting in verse 1, "You, God, are my God." He doesn't say you're some God. He doesn't say you are a God or even the God. He says, no, God, you are my God. He goes on to say, "Earnestly I seek you." In other words, this is coming from my soul. This is coming from my heart. I'm doing it because I really want you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. He says, I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your glory and your power. Friends, David said, I just didn't hear about it. I have experienced God firsthand myself. I've seen what he does. I've encountered him with my life. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. David says, in other words, I just can't stop giving you praise. I praise you, God, for what you've done for me. You're so awesome. You're good. You're wonderful. He says, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I'll lift up my hands. Friends, that is a reflection of a person who's not perfect, because we know David wasn't perfect, but he was going after God. And I ask you this morning, how is your desire for God? Do you know him? You see, what you call a person really determines what you know about him. In your notes, what you call God determines how well you know God. Let me give you an example. If I get a call on my cell phone and it rings and I pick it up and someone says, "Hello, Mr. Mellendorf," you know what that tells me? That person doesn't know me. Because people who don't know me call me Mr. Mellendorf. Now, if someone says Pastor Mellendorf, then that tells me they probably know a little bit about me. They know what I do. And maybe if you attend here, if you're a regular part of our congregation, you know me even a little bit more. You know that I'm married. My wife's name is Rebecca. You know that I have 4 kids. You know that I'm about to be a grandpa. That was a good place for an amen. All right, we'll go on. You probably know some of my stories, because if you've been here for the past 10 years, you know, you've probably heard me tell them 7-8 times sometimes. You know, you know a little bit about me if you know me as Pastor Craig, Pastor Mellendorf. Now, there's another level. Some people just call me Craig. That's my family and my friends. They don't address me as Pastor Craig, but my close friends, they call me Craig when we're together. And then there are some people, there are really 5 to be exact. Now call me Dad, Daddy. And those have spent more cuddle time, especially when they were younger, not so much now. You know, they've spent more time talking with me. I've spent more time praying with them than probably anyone else in the world. I've spent more time doing things with my four kids and son-in-law than anyone else, those who know me as Daddy. And then there's one who knows me as Honey, okay? And nobody else can call me Honey. Not even the waitress at the restaurant. She says, Honey, I said, I'm not your honey. I'm her honey. There's only one who calls me Honey, and she knows me like nobody else. What do you call God this morning? How do you approach Him when you pray? Hey, big guy up in the sky. The man upstairs. Hey, 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. You know, what you call God, if that's how you refer to God, that speaks to something about your kind of relationship with Him. You really don't know Him all that well. But if you cry out intimately to Him as Father, then that's what He is to you. If you call out to Him as Savior, because He saved you from your sins, He's forgiven you of your sins, you know Him that way. You call out to Him as Healer, because He's healed you or He's healed a family member, you know Him in that way. You call out to Him as Comforter, because He's come alongside you and wrapped His arm around you when you were going through it and you couldn't find comfort anywhere else. You call Him Friend because He stuck with you when no one else did. You call Him Provider when He supernaturally came through and He gave you what you needed before it was too late. You call Him Lord because He's your King. And even though He's a friend, you realize that you owe Him everything. And so you surrender your life to Him and you say, Lord Jesus, You've got my all. What do you call Him? How do you see Him today? I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're at level one, you believe in God, but you don't really know Him. Or maybe you do believe in Him and you know Him a little, but not a lot. My prayer is that today, in the next few moments, you would take that step and say, God, I want to know You intimately and serve You wholeheartedly.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.